That's the Penny Singleton Show.
Hello. Happy you're here.
On stage, tonight from Hollywood, the Penny Singleton Show. Penny in our story is Mrs. Penny Williamson, a war widow and the mother of two girls, 13-year-old D.G. and 8-year-old Sue. We go back to yesterday evening to start our story. Penny is in the kitchen helping Margaret prepare dinner.
Here's some milk for the mashed potatoes. Need some help?
No, I always mash potatoes this way.
D.G., Sue and I aren't going to do anything tomorrow. We're having a safe and sane fourth.
Oh, how'd you ever talk them out of fireworks?
I have a new system for arriving at major family decisions. I'm the president, and D.G. and Sue make up the Senate and the House.
Yeah. I just wish they'd make up their beds. I can take care of the House.
Anyway, as president, I proposed the bill for no fireworks, and Congress passed it. We also voted you the day off tomorrow.
Well, thanks, Prez. You and Congress will always have my block of votes.
Thank you.
Well, I guess everything's about ready. Just need the powdered sugar for the shortcake.
I sent Sue over to Mrs. Duncan's to borrow a cupful. That's Sue now, at long last.
Now, I'll call Gigi and tell her dinner's ready.
Hurry up, Sue.
Here's the sugar, Mother.
Thank you. Sue, what took you so long at Mrs. Duncan's?
The usual thing. She grilled me.
And what did she want to know this time?
She asked me who I'd like for a stepfather, Judge Grundle or Mr. Wiggins.
Either way you answered, I'm in trouble. Whom did you say you wanted?
Joel McRae.
Sue, darling, why didn't you just take the sugar, thank her, and then run for your life?
I will the next time, Madam President.
Mother, you've looked depressed all during dinner. What's the matter?
Oh, I've been thinking about Mrs. Duncan, D.G.
May I have another piece of strawberry shortcake, please?
Darling, you had a big piece. Where do you put it?
Same old place.
Well, if you think there's room, just a tiny slice. D.G.
Yes, Mother?
Does Mrs. Duncan ask you questions, too?
Well, sometimes. Yesterday, she was leaning over her back fence.
She's always leaning over that fence.
And she started a conversation about Judge Grundle and Mr. Wiggins. She asked which one I'd like for a stepfather.
And whom did you choose?
Well, I said John Wayne.
I'd rather have Joel McRae.
There isn't a man living braver than John Wayne. Anyway, Mother, that's the type I told Mrs. Duncan I'd like you to marry.
Well, I'm glad you didn't express an opinion about the judge or Mr. Wiggins. She'd have made a mountain out of that.
Oh, and Mrs. Duncan did want to know if you'd had a big party lately.
What?
Well, she saw an empty wine bottle in the barrel we throw cans and bottles in.
Well, I hope you told her it was the cooking sherry that Margaret sometimes uses.
Well, I didn't get a chance because the cans made too much noise.
The cans?
Well, she was rooting around to see what we'd been eating lately. She thinks you're terribly extravagant.
Honestly.
More tea, Miss Williamson?
No, thanks. Margaret, I just heard that Mrs. Duncan inspects the barrel we throw cans in.
She does? Why don't we booby trap it?
Well, I'll go, Mother.
Thank you. I think the only thing for me to do, Margaret, is to have a straightforward talk with Mrs. Duncan.
Well, it might work if you can get a word in edgewise, like a knife.
Good evening, Judge Grundle.
Evening, D.G. Is your mother?
We're in the dining room, Judge. Come on in.
Oh, hello, Penny. Sue. Hello, Margaret.
Hello, Judge.
Hello.
Like some of my strawberry shortcake, Judge?
Thank you, but I don't think I'd better.
Why, Judge, you love Margaret's shortcake.
No. You see, the other day it was brought to my attention that I'm developing what is often referred to as a corpulent midriff.
You mean a pot?
Well, not exactly.
Susan, you're being fresh.
Mother, it's not Sue's fault. The judge started it.
Fiji's right, Judge. You did lead with your solar plexus.
Oh.
Margaret, no shortcake for his honor. And the girls will help you clear the table in a few minutes.
Oh, thanks.
I dropped by, Penny, to ask you something. I wanted to know if you... Penny?
What?
Anything wrong?
Oh, just Ida Duncan.
Oh. Well, I was wondering if you had any plans for the 4th tomorrow.
Yes, we do. We're not going driving on the highways, we're not going to set fire to the house, and we're not going to get ourselves burned or hurt. We agreed, didn't we, Congress?
Uh-huh.
Sue filibustered a while in favor of a couple of little firecrackers, but we won her over on a compromise.
A compromise?
I'm going to be allowed to eat more watermelon than I should.
Well, I think the idea of a safe and sane 4th is very good since you're a household of women, but if you had a man here to manage things, I think you could celebrate a little bit without danger.
Judge, we had our meeting and we voted.
Madam President?
Yes, Sue.
I think we ought to count the votes again.
Now, Sue, you can't.
We wouldn't mind if Judge Grundle did everything. Sue and I just watch, Mother.
Deegee, you voted in favor of a safe and sane 4th.
Well, we'll still be safe and sane, Mother. And the judge does have his heart set on it, haven't you, Judge?
Yes.
Judge, whenever I want Mother to change her mind, I hug and kiss her.
Penny, this is what I've wanted to do for years.
Now, stay right where you are, Judge. It wouldn't be safe, and you wouldn't be sane to try it.
Oh, Penny, now, really.
Answer the door, Sue.
Okay. It must be Mr. Wiggins. I can see his car out front.
Wiggins? Why is he always coming in at the wrong time?
After all, as my partner in the Williamson and Wiggins Real Estate Agency, he may want to talk over some proposition.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Oh, Judge.
Come on in, Mr. Wiggins. We're in the dining room.
Hello, Sue. Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Wiggins.
Hello, Penny. DG, I just came over. Oh, Judge, you're here.
Yes, I'm here.
Now, Judge, Mr. Wiggins, you two start all over again and try being friendly. Go ahead.
Hello, Judge. Hello, Wiggins.
Oh, now, really?
Well, what do you want me to do, kiss him?
I give up.
Oh, good. Well, Judge, if you're leaving, just assume I've taken Penny's advice and kissed you goodbye.
I am not leaving. I came over here to take D.G. and Sue downtown to buy some fireworks for tomorrow.
Are we back on that subject again?
But that's what I came over to do, Judge.
Gee, Mr. Wiggins, looks like you read the judge's mind.
Yes, and it was about as dull as reading the telephone book.
Mother, if Mr. Wiggins wants to get fireworks too, you're just outnumbered.
Somehow or other, I never can win. I have a discussion with my daughters. They agree to give up fireworks.
Well, honestly, Mother, we do. We just want to watch the judge and Mr. Wiggins play with them.
I think I have that problem all settled. I'm about to relax when another problem pops up. And believe me, the problem next door is a beaut. And then two men walk into my house and discombobulate everything.
Yeah, well, what's the matter next door?
It's Ida Duncan's gossip.
Oh, Penny, Ida's gossip doesn't hurt anyone. You take it much too seriously.
Oh, she's constantly looking over my shoulder.
Oh, it's not as bad as that.
Isn't as bad as... All right, I'll prove something to you. Ida Duncan is watching us right this minute.
Oh, no.
And I can prove it. Sue, dear, go pull down the shades.
Okay.
I don't get it.
I can prove Ida is watching because as soon as both the shades are down, the other one too, Sue... Ida will be over here in 10 seconds. She'll have to know what's going on.
Start counting, Mother.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Come right in, Ida.
Oh, hello, Penny, my dear. Oh, I didn't know you had company.
Hello, Ida.
Oh, hello. Why is everybody staring at me?
She's not even out of breath.
Jet propelled.
You see, gentlemen?
Oh, well, I don't understand. I just came over to borrow a few pieces of
gossip?
Yes. Oh, no, Penny, I don't know what you mean.
Judge, Mr. Wiggins, would you excuse us, please?
Oh, yes,
Ida,
yes,
let's go into the living room. I'd like to have a little talk with you.
Oh, my dear, is it something you want to keep a secret?
What I'm going to tell you, Ida, you may tell to the world.
But, Penny, how can you say these things to me, your dearest friend?
I'm only saying what's true.
But you're wrong. You're wrong. I never talk about you.
Maybe you don't know you gossip. The other day, the butcher asked me how my diet was coming along. I'm not on any diet, but he told me you said I was.
Diet?
Yes. Where'd you get such an idea? This isn't important, Ida, but I'm using it as an example.
Oh. Well, when you gave away some of your clothes to the Salvation Army last week, they stopped at my house next, and I noticed that green dress of yours, which seemed perfectly good, so I assumed...
But why tell the butcher?
Well, we were discussing the fact that you bought rather expensive cuts of meat.
Does he tell everyone what I buy?
Oh, no. You see, his account book happened to be open on the table, and I just happened to notice what your bill was last month. And, well, buying so much meat fitted in with the diet, so I put two and two together.
So that's how Charmaine at the beauty parlor knew what my butcher bill was last month.
She did not hear that from me. I'm positive she heard it from Bernice Harrington.
Why, Bernice?
Because she's the one I told about your bill.
Oh, Ida.
Oh, I guess I just have a naturally inquiring mind, I guess.
Ida, I'm not objecting to your mind. It's your tongue. This time, when you put two and two together, it didn't hurt anyone. But someday, Ida...
Oh, Penny, I never realized that I talk so much.
But do you now?
Oh, of course. And I'm going to watch myself like a hawk. Never let it be said that Ida Duncan knowingly would do anything to her.
Well, I'm sure you don't do these things knowingly, Ida. You've got to watch,
now, dear,
darling.
I've got to run now, but believe me, I appreciate everything you've told me. It takes a friend to tell the truth to another friend.
Ida, you've got to watch.
Now, dear, I'll watch myself like a hawk. Now, good night, dear.
Good night.
Well, Ida leave?
Yes.
Well, did you tell her?
Penny, if Ida's left, could we,
I told her, but...
Well, didn't she understand what you were trying to tell her?
Yes, but she got it too fast.
Well, if she got it, that's enough. Now, what about the fireworks for tomorrow?
Oh, dear.
Please, Penny. Yes, Penny, please, huh?
All right, but we won't buy them until tomorrow.
Well, why wait until tomorrow?
Because maybe they'll be sold out of everything by then.
We'll be back to the Penny Singleton Show in a moment.
This land is your land. This land is my land. This land was made for you and me.
It's a nice place to visit. And 18,602,000 people can't be wrong. They think it's a nice place to live, too. Some live up north in the shadow of Mount Tamalpais, where the fog rolls in like ghostly tumbleweed to envelop the Golden Gate Bridge. Some live down south in the shadows of the movie giants, where the smog rolls in to envelop everything. All of them live in California, a magic state. But this magic isn't merely the result of the magic lantern. It was present long before the first director shouted action. Even before John Marshall whispered gold, California's magic lies largely in its contrasts. Here, entire fields blow yellow with poppies or lie barren in waste. Here, the temperature may rise to 134 degrees or sink to 45 below. Here, we find the highest point in the United States outside of Alaska, Mount Whitney, and the lowest, Death Valley. Here is the serenity of the missions and the near madness of the freeways. California's many facets give its residents an attitude described by O. Henry. Californians are a race of people. They are not merely inhabitants of a state.
And now for Act Two of the Penny Singleton Show. It's the 4th of July now, and we find Penny and her family with Judge Grundle and Mr. Wiggins in downtown Middleton. They are entering a store that sells fireworks.
Oh, dear, they've still got a lot of stuff left.
Best fireworks in town here.
Well, we just want some little firecrackers if they have them, and sparklers.
Boy, we're lucky they're not sold out. It's so late in the day.
Hello. Oh. May I help you?
Yes. We want to buy some fireworks that won't do anything.
What do you mean, madam, that won't do anything?
Well, I don't know how I can put it any other way. We want fireworks that won't do anything.
Madam, if one goes to the trouble to strike a match, then light a fuse, one certainly wants something to happen, doesn't one?
Yes. But not very much.
Oh, now, Penny, you certainly want to get a couple of things that are fun.
We really don't care, Judge.
I'd like some sparklers.
Well, otherwise, Penny, we might just as well light a candle and sit there and watch it burn.
Let me show you some wonderful new things that are out this year. They're absolutely spectacular.
Judge, Mr. Wiggins, let's get the little firecrackers and sparklers and get out of here.
Now, here's something novel.
Oh, look what he's got.
Oh, this is a real Jim Dandy.
It's enormous. What is it?
It's called the magnetic mind bomb. Go within 3 feet of it with a lighted cigarette and it goes off.
Say now, hot dog.
It's a killer, huh?
You can say that again. I'm sorry, but...
Oh, here's something else. It's sensational.
Don't they have any sparklers, Mother?
Now, this foot-long firecracker is called the atomic firecracker. It's our own little joke, but we recommend that the purchasers of this little baby have concrete bunkers built in their yard.
Now, really?
Boy, oh boy, if they'd had those when I was a kid.
When you were a kid, the Chinese hadn't invented gunpowder yet.
Judge, Mr. Wiggins, please tell them...
Oh, please, madam. Let me show you the piece de resistance.
Look, you, I'm going to resist everything. All we want...
Look at this, madam. The most sensational fireworks ever invented. I'm told the plans for it were stolen directly from the Russians.
Jeepers, look at that, John.
Holy mackerel, I've never seen anything like that.
Me either. What's it called?
This? This is the Moscow Mule Blockbuster.
Holy torpedo, that does it. Come on, girls. We'll get our little firecrackers and sparklers somewhere else. This place frightens me. Home at last. Imagine going to 3 places before we could buy little firecrackers and sparklers.
Whew, it's warm.
Mother, maybe it'd be nice to have supper on the side porch, sort of picnic style.
May I help in the kitchen?
There's not much to do. We're going to have cold fried chicken.
And watermelon.
I'll help you with the salad, Mother.
I think I'll go out and get the sparklers set up in the lawn by the porch. Once it starts to get dark...
Oh, Mr. Wiggins, you could help if you'd take the dining room chairs out on the porch.
Okay.
Well, this is turning out to be a very pleasant 4th of July after all.
A line of sparklers here for his nose.
Chairs and table all set up, Penny.
Then you're through, Mr. Wiggins. Dinner will be ready in about 30 minutes.
Everything set up, Judge?
Yep, yep. Did a picture of George Washington with the sparklers.
Washington? He's got 3 eyes there.
That one is his nose.
Well, then why is it looking at me?
Look, Wiggins, if you think you can do any better, you
Hello
can
Hello there. Happy 4th of July.
Hello, Ida. Hello.
Oh, how cute, Judge. You've made a Christmas tree with the sparklers.
Christmas tree, that's very good.
That's enough.
I'm going to watch your fireworks, too. Penny just called and asked me to join you. Oh, there's a wonderful woman.
Ida, that's the most accurate thing you've ever said.
Yes, we know her pretty well, too, Ida.
Oh, but not like I do. Appearances can be very deceptive if it takes a woman to understand another woman. I also know Penny through her children, too, you see. And the children always reflect the mother.
Like how?
Well, for example, just yesterday Sue blurted out she'd like to have Joel McRae for a father.
Is he in town?
Oh, you don't understand. It's what Joel McRae represents to Sue, and therefore to Penny. McRae is the Texas Ranger. Guns, noise, adventure, daring.
Well, I can be daring at times.
Oh, Judge, I'm afraid you're the sparkler type. And there's D.G., too. She'd like John Wayne for a father.
Yeah,
Another shoot-em-up bang-bang type.
Well, knowing you two, it's so easy to understand why Penny never remarried. She's just never found another daring type like her husband, Commander Williamson.
Oh, I wouldn't be so sure of that.
Well, I'd better go in and see if I can help her in the kitchen.
Yoo-hoo, Penny. Come on in, Ida.
Joel McCrae.
John Wayne.
If Penny's appearance is deceptive, other people's appearances might be deceptive, too.
You mean, like us?
Yeah, the sparkler type. How do they know I'm not... How soon did you say Penny would have dinner ready?
Oh, in about 30. Daring type. Shoot him up, bang, bang. Judge, you thinking what I'm thinking?
I am, if you're thinking we could get to that first fireworks store and still be back in time.
Oh, sure we could. She wants shoot him up types. She's got him. Come on.
Let's saddle up, McCrae. Okay, Wayne.
Oh, the judge and Mr. Wiggins are certainly having fun.
Do you think the judge was really a Texas Ranger once, Mother? Like he said at dinner?
Oh, I'm sure he was making it up. Just like Mr. Wiggins made up that pearl hunting expedition in the Pacific.
Funny. Somebody else I heard about had a ship called the Red Witch.
This has been wonderful. Everything about used up, Judge, Mr. Wiggins?
Show's just beginning, folks.
Beginning?
Ladies and gentlemen, next comes the major attraction of the evening.
What he means is, here's where we separate the men from the boys.
I have a funny feeling they aren't talking about sparklers.
Here we go!
Mother, look, Mr. Wiggins is opening packages and packages of more fireworks.
What in the world? Now listen here, Judge, Mr. Wiggins, you just
got... Stand back, everyone! We're shooting them up tonight!
Yes. Huh? Look it!
Oh! Oh, no!
Here's some more butter, Mother.
Thank you, D.G. Ida, put some of it on Mr. Wiggins' hand.
All right. Here, Mr. Wiggins.
Now for you, Judge. Where else does it hurt?
Well, here and here and here.
I see. I'll just rub a little butter. Hold still. There.
Well, but it's kind of soothing.
It's just a little blister, Judge.
Oh, be careful, Ida. You're not buttering a piece of toast.
Mother, I'd still like to know. What happened?
Yes, boys. Exactly what got into you? Did you have this little stunt planned all the time you were cooperating with me on having a safe and sane fourth?
No.
No, he didn't, Penny.
Then what made you change?
Well, John Wayne here decided to...
No, just wait a minute, Wiggins. Joel McCrae was mixed up in this, too.
John Wayne? Joel McCrae? Well, those two are connected with a private family joke among D.G. Sue and me. But how did you two...
Oh, my, it's late. Penny... I really think I should be running along now.
I want an explanation, gentlemen. D.G. Sue, did you talk to the judge or Mr. Wiggins about John Wayne?
No, Mother.
Nope.
And I certainly never mentioned Joel McCrae or Ida.
Yes.
You were the only other person who... And you put two and two together again. Ida Duncan.
We were trying to be the daring type.
Yeah. Bang, bang.
Penny, I didn't say a thing that could cause any damage.
You didn't? Look at those two. Have you ever seen anything more damaged than they are?
Well, I simply said...
I'm so disappointed. And after you promised last night...
Mother, what's happening?
What?
Who is it?
Who owns the house next door?
Why, it's mine, Ida Duncan. Why?
Fireworks set your fence on fire. Better hurry.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, say we'd better help, Wiggins.
Yes, yeah.
Oh,
God,
half of Mrs. Duncan's back fence is already gone.
Oh, dear, that's too bad, but... Wait a minute. This may teach Ida a lesson. Now she won't have a back fence to gossip over.
The judge and Mr. Wiggins are just standing there arguing over how to put the fire out. Do something, Mother, do something.
Holy torpedo, there's only enough butter left for breakfast. Deedee, go turn on the lawn sprinklers before John Wayne and Joel McRae hurt themselves again.
This land is your land, this land is my land, this land was made for you and me.
Everybody knows which company produces most of the world's tomato soup, but few know where the tomatoes come from. Not too many are aware of the vast tomato fields of New Jersey. Canning tomatoes isn't New Jersey's only claim to fame, however. The Miss America Beauty Pageant is held annually in Atlantic City, which also has delicious saltwater taffy and an amusement park with no roller coaster. Better than a roller coaster ride, though, or at least quieter, is a ferry ride across the Delaware from Cape May, about 45 miles from the boardwalk by way of Stone Harbor, with its nesting egrets and herons. Unfortunately, the casual observer seldom sees the richness of growing things or the beauty of the birds. He more often notices the swampy meadows, the towns and cities huddled along the railroad, the sign, "Trenton makes, the world takes." It is usually the native New Jerseyite who delights in beaches such as Wildwood, the rolling farms of Monmouth County, the dairy country and gentle mountains of western New Jersey. One native thought that he would never see a poem lovely as a tree. Could be he was referring to the proud red oak, symbolic of the Garden State.
Penny Singleton Show featured Gail Gordon, Jim Backus, B. Benaderet, Sarah Selby, Mary Lee Robb, Sheila James, and Paul Fries. The music was composed and conducted by Von Dexter. The Penny Singleton Show, written and produced by Robert Soderbergh and directed by Max Hutto, stars Penny Singleton.
Good night. Keep well.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.